Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we ain't getting into no music. We're going right at it. Evangelist Janice Taylor, she has the mic for 2 hours. You got the mic, Sister Taylor.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in tonight to give God praise on tonight for being with us here at the Live Deliverance Ministries. And we just thank God for all that are listening in. I am Evangelist Janet Taylor, your guest minister tonight. And we're just going to get right into it. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, it's in the name of your son, Jesus, we come to give you thanks and praise. We thank you for this opportunity to declare your name and to proclaim the word of the Lord. God, I thank you for the people that have tuned in on tonight. I thank you, oh God, for what you are about to share with us. I thank you right now for Apostle Emmett Overton and for Brother John and for Sister Durgin. God, I thank you for this ministry, and I praise you. And we ask, oh God, that those that are listening in, that this word would come forth with clarity and that with boldness, and that you would use me, Lord, for your glory. It's all about you. I pray that you would give your people ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church tonight. Oh God, bless us as only you can bless us. And we thank you in advance for this word. In Jesus' holy name, we do pray. Amen and amen. For those of you that have your Bibles, please turn with me to John chapter 12 and verse 24. John chapter 12 and verse 24. And it reads thusly, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." All right, go with me now to Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23. And this is what the word of the Lord says. It says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And the title of tonight's teaching is, "I Hope You Die." I hope you die. Now, I know that is probably a strange title for a message. And to most of you, it's going to sound unkind. And especially if anybody's sick is listening to this broadcast tonight. But I want to bring this message to you because I believe this is a word from God. I know it's from God. I didn't come up with this on my own. And I believe that it's going to bless you. So again, I want to say to the people that are listening to the sound of my voice tonight, I hope you die. Now, let's get into this. These words are usually thought to be hateful and causing much pain, but today I say these words to you, "I hope you die," in love to the body of believers in every nation, tribe, and tongue. I hope you die. You see, we are living in the last days, and they are characterized by the promotion of self. We see a lot of selfism going on today. Self-love, self-esteem, self-awareness, self-employed. People have self-confidence, self-defeating behaviors, self-motivated, self-assurance, self-governed, self-defense. Some are even self-obsessed. That's an egomaniac. Self-supporting. That's taking care of one's own self. Self-appointed. A lot of people are in ministry today, having positions. They self-appointed themselves. To be self-composed means to be self-made or calm. And some people consider themselves self-sufficient. They are dependent on no one. Now, that's probably one of the worst selfisms there is, to be self-sufficient. Self-doubt, doubting oneself and self-worth is when you value or devalue yourself. So self-love is narcissism. There's a lot of that going on today. And God did not call us to promote ourselves. When we became Christians, we are supposed to exalt God. But man has turned away from exalting God to exalting himself. And that is why God gave me this message, I hope you die. You see, 2 Timothy 3 and 1 describes it. It says, men shall be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we are living in the days of selfism. And selfism is a deadly cancer, and it's snaking its way through the earth. Selfishness is the number one cause of all sin, and it is its origin is in Satan. You see, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, Satan tempted her. She knew the commandments. She knew what God had said. Eve knew exactly what he said, and Adam did too. But Satan came to her. He appealed to her through selfism. And what he said was, have God said. So he cast doubt in her mind. And then he said, well, God knows that the day that you eat of this tree, you're going to be like him. So that meant Eve had a desire. She wanted to promote herself. In other words, she took God off the throne and she got on the throne. She became her own self-God. And this displeased God. Then she turned around and she got her husband to do the same thing. So we know in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 16, about the fall of Lucifer. The Bible says, the scriptures say, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now, if you look at that, that is about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That is about 6 times where Satan exalted himself. He said, I will this, I will that. He exalted himself. And that's what's happening today. Man is no longer interested in what God is saying. Man is saying, I will do this, I will do that. I think we remember the song by Frank Sinatra, who sang a very popular song, I did it my way. In other words, he did not do what God said. He did it his way. I'm just wondering, how did that work out for him? Okay? Now, so Satan said, I will exalt myself above the throne of the Most High. And that is what so many people are doing today. And that includes believers. I hope you die, because the only cure for the disease of selfism is death. We have to die. And this is what the scripture tells us in Luke. It says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, he says, and take up his cross daily and follow me. So you got this one group. You got this group of sodomites. This group with this inordinate affection. They are saying, "I was born this way." Okay, let's just go there. Let's just say you were born that way. Get born again. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. You must be born again. And even if you have a propensity or an inclination to do a certain thing, the Bible says, let him deny himself. So you can't say that I have these ungodly feelings towards someone of the same sex, but yet I am a Christian. The Bible says, if any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself. And what does it mean to deny yourself? It means to die. Flesh must die. There are all types of sinful desires in the world. You name it. Alcoholism, drug addiction, homosexuality, perversion, all sorts of sexual immoralities, all sorts of desires, ungodly desires that the enemy uses to attack people with every single day. But the scripture says, let him deny himself. That means I die. My flesh must die. If I'm going to serve God, my flesh must die. I used to have some ungodly desires. I used to be a prostitute and a crack addict. And I used to smoke crack and use drugs and alcohol. And I had these desires that were not from God. But the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, when I repented of my sins, when I received forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I had to change my desires. Glory be to God. In other words, I asked the Lord to deliver me. Not only did I need to get saved, I needed to be delivered from those old habits, those old ways, that old mindset, that old way of thinking. And so God took those ungodly desires and gave me godly desires because I had to learn how to deny myself. Glory be to God. And this is where we see so many problems here in the body of Christ. Don't nobody want to deny themselves. People are just doing whatever comes to their mind, and they think, well, it's okay because God understands. Let me tell you something. God does understand the weakness of humanity. He understands this flesh. That's why he sent his son, Jesus, to live on this earth for 33 and a half years, because Jesus came to know and understand, and he walked through everything that you and I can possibly go through, every emotion, everything that we had to deal with. He had to deal with it, but he did not sin. Why? Because he denied himself. The Bible says he humbled himself. He made of himself no reputation. He humbled himself. And even though he became a man, he was a man submitted to his father. He said, I only do what I see my father doing. So we have to learn to deny ourselves. And to deny ourselves, the Apostle Paul said, mortify the flesh and the deeds of the flesh. We've got to put this flesh to death. Flesh cannot inherit. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We have to die, and I hope you die. I hope your desires die. I hope your ambitions die. I hope your thoughts die. I hope all of your plans and dreams die. I hope everything that you have planned for your life, I hope it dies. I hope your imaginations die. I hope all of your fears and worries die. I hope your feelings die. Because guess what? Dead men don't feel anything. You can spit in the face of a dead man and he won't react because he didn't feel it. Glory be to God. So I hope you die. I hope all of your visions and ideas die. I hope your independence and self-sufficiency dies. I hope you learn to pray and seek God's faith and see what God's plan and God's purpose for your life is. He said, if any man will hunger and thirst after righteousness, he shall be filled. I hope that you die. I hope your flesh dies so that the spirit can live. Because the Apostle Paul says that if we live to the flesh, if we live to the spirit, then the flesh will die. We cannot do both. Let me turn there. Romans chapter 8 and 1. I want to get this because I want you to get this right. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Romans says, there is therefore now no common condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who do what? See, there's no condemnation, but you can't stop right there. Now, the NIV Bible, which is why I don't use it, the NIV Bible puts a period right there. It says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It puts a period right there. The rest of that verse is missing. But it says more. It says, to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. If you are walking after the spirit, then the flesh is dead. The flesh must die. Glory be to God. So I hope you die. I hope you die to all of your dreams and ambitions. I hope you die to everything that this world has been trying to entice you with. I hope all of your desires die. I hope your pride and ego dies. I hope all of your rights and entitlements die. You know, we are living in a generation right now. This is the most entitled generation I have ever seen in my life. I hope the spirit of self-pity and murmuring and complaining in you dies. I hope you die. Because when you die to yourself, then only will you begin to live in Christ Jesus. So I want to talk about dying to self. Let's talk about that for a minute. What is dying to self? The concept of dying to self is found throughout the New Testament, expresses the true essence of the Christian life in which we take up our cross and follow Christ. Dying to self is a part of being born again. The old self dies and the new self comes to life. That's found in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Well, not only are Christians born again when we come to salvation, but we also continue dying to self. See, that's got to be a continual thing. You don't just get saved and I'm in now like this is a club. No, this is not a club. This is a lifelong process. So we must continue dying to self. Dying to self is so important to the believer, and we must die daily to ourselves. Glory be to God. It as a part of the process of sanctification. Dying to self is both a one-time event and a lifelong process. Now, Jesus spoke repeatedly to his disciples about taking up their cross. The cross is an instrument of death, a symbol, an emblem of suffering and shame. And he said, and follow him. He made it clear that if any man would follow him, they must deny themselves, which means giving up your life, giving up your rights, giving up your dreams, giving up your ambitions, giving up your plans and ideas. He's talking about giving up your life spiritually, symbolically, and even physically, if necessary. This was a prerequisite for being a follower of Christ. And he proclaimed that trying to save our earthly lives would result in our losing our lives in the kingdom. He said, but those who would give up their lives for the sake of the cross, for his sake, would find eternal life. Now, that can be found in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25, and also in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. So we see that Jesus went so far as to say that those who are unwilling to sacrifice their lives for him cannot be his disciples. Now, I didn't write this. I'm just quoting this. And you can look for that. You can find it in Luke chapter 14 and verse number 27. Now, so we have to die to self. We have to deny ourselves. Glory be to God, if we are going to be followers of Jesus Christ. Again, I hope you die. All right? Water baptism, let's look at that. Water baptism is an outward symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the old man dying. He's going down in the water and being buried, but the new man rising to walk in the newness of life. But we've got to move beyond the outward death, burial, and resurrection to the spiritual, the inward one. You see, because God is looking at our heart. So he's looking at the spiritual death, burial, and resurrection. You see, you cannot begin to live until you die first. And the way up is down. Nothing saddens me more. And I believe that this also bothers Jesus. It's for those to hear people profess. You know, you hear this sometimes. I tell you, it just does something to me to hear people say, I laid down my religion and I told them X, Y, and Z because I'm still me. No, there's something wrong with that picture. You cannot be born again and still be you because you cannot come into the presence of the Lord and not be changed. You see, you are either dead to sin or you are alive to it. Sometimes you just walking, you're like a dead man walking. So I want to talk to you about what it means to be dead to sin. To be dead to sin, this is a phrase, it comes from Romans 6 and 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And to be dead to sin is to be alive to God in Christ Jesus. So you either going to be dead to sin or alive to Christ Jesus. It's no middle of the road. So those who have come to faith in Jesus are no longer to allow sin to control their lives. Instead, we are to be under the control. That's why you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because we are supposed to be controlled now by the Holy Spirit. I remember when I was a crack addict, I remember how I could just smoke one little tiny piece, and then I would be off to the races all night long, jumping in and out of cars, prostituting my body, putting myself at risk, all these crazy things. Why? Because I was under control. I was under Satan's control. He had a hook in my nose. He made me do these things when I didn't want to do these things. So I was under his control. But you know what? When I got born again, I came under new management. Good God Almighty. I came under the power of the Holy Ghost. Glory be to God. God gave me power and authority. I remember what my life was like before I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't have no power. I still struggled, and I was fearful. I was very fearful that I would go back to sin. And but I remember the day I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory be to God. I felt the power of God. Glory be to God. Come inside of me. And I had power over ungodly desires. I had power over ungodly thoughts. I learned how to cast them down. I had power over unclean spirits. I learned how to cast them out. Nowhere in scripture will you find Jesus say counsel a demon. So I didn't go for no counseling for a demon. I learned demons had to be cast out. Glory be to God. So being dead to sin is to be alive to God in Christ Jesus. And those who have come to faith in Jesus are no longer to allow sin to control their lives. Instead, we offer ourselves to God to serve his purposes. Now, before I got saved, I had so many plans. I was going to be a singer. I was going to be famous. I thought I was going to be rich. As a matter of fact, I thought Hollywood was looking for me. Guess what? I found out Hollywood was not looking for me. Singers come a dime a dozen. And what I did learn was that every good and perfect gift that I have, it comes from above. So every gift that I have, I offer it back to God as a living sacrifice. You know what? I used to jump in and out of bed with different men, and I'm not proud of that, and I'm not boasting in that. I'm just telling you the truth, because maybe the truth about me might also be the truth about you. Maybe somebody's listening to this can identify with this and know that the same God that set me free, he's able and willing to set you free also. And so I did all these ungodly things, and I had no power. I was just weak. I was powerless. I could not do the things that, like Paul said, the things that I didn't want to do, I did them. And the things that I wanted to do, I couldn't do them. And so God did a work in me when he filled me with the Holy Spirit. He gave me power. Luke 10 and 19 says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. That was one of the first scriptures that I learned that actually stuck with me. I mean, that thing, it impacted me. I saw it on a license tag on the front of a church van, and I was like, wow. So I learned that God had given me power. He gave me power over my flesh so that I did not have to succumb to it. I didn't have to submit to it. I submitted my body to the Lord. And that's what Romans 12 and 1 and 2 says. It says that we are not to conform to this world, but to be conformed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, I owe God. That's the least I can do, is present my body to him as a living sacrifice, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, how do your mind get transformed? You get it transformed by spending time in God's word. And he says, so the more I spent time in the word of God, my mind was renewed. And I began to see why God didn't want me to live that life that I used to live. I began to see that that life was a life of death. Nothing could come out of it but death. And so many of my friends that I worked the streets with, they died. They were killed in those streets. But God spared me for a reason, so that I could tell it, so that I could be on this broadcast tonight and share with you how he had to transform my mind by the renewing of my mind through the word of God. He says that ye might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God taught me. He taught me over the years. Now, this was a process. This did not happen overnight. And to be dead to sin, I learned that I no longer needed to be controlled by my sin nature. So whereas Satan had power over me before, Jesus, he broke the chains that had me bound, and I'm no longer under Satan's control. I'm under new management. Glory be to God. Now, we still face temptation, and we must strive every day to stand against sin. We can live dead to sin as we follow Christ knowing that one day he will remove all sin from us, all sin from the earth. There will be no more sin when Jesus comes back. So what we have to do is you have to prepare. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. So we have to prepare. That is why I hope you die. I hope you die to self, and I hope you become dead to sin. Glory be to God. You see, we have to learn that either you are dead to sin or you are alive to Jesus Christ. I hope you die. Now, Luke 14 and 26 and 27, I'm going to turn there. I want to read from that. Glory be to God. Luke 14, 26 through 27 says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So that's plain and simple. It's where your loyalties lie. You see, sometimes you even got to let go of family and friends. You got to let go of everything and everyone. You got to love God so much that in comparison to your love for him, it seems like you hate everything and everyone else. Because he said, we must hate this world and all that's in the world. Or Jesus said, or you cannot be his disciples. So I hope you die. You have to crucify this flesh and its mortal and its sinful deeds. Now, what does it mean to crucify the flesh? I'm so glad that you asked. Glory be to God. The concept of crucifying the flesh comes from Galatians 5 and 20. I want to read that for you. So this is what it says, Galatians 5 and 24. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So that means all those ungodly desires, you done put it to death. That's what it means to crucify the flesh. Or you doing this on a daily basis. This is not just a one-time thing. This is on a daily basis. The enemy is always shooting arrows at us. That's why you got to have a shield of faith in place. He's always shooting ungodly thoughts, ungodly desires, ungodly this, ungodly that, evil thoughts. And the Bible says, deliver us from evil. That's what Jesus taught the disciples to pray. You know, I preached that one time, deliver us from evil, and a lady got mad. She told me at the end of the service that we're not evil. I said, the Bible says we are. We are evil by nature. Why? Because we inherited the sin nature through Adam. Now, so we have to crucify this flesh. And it comes from, like I said, Galatians 5 and 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, it's clear that crucifying the flesh is not something done to the believer, but it's done by the believer. So this is something you got to do. This is something I have to do on a daily basis. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. The flesh that must be crucified is the sin principle that exists in our fallen human nature. It exists in our Adamic nation. All right? Sin entrenches itself in the flesh, which became dominated by all kinds of iniquity. It is the sinful passions and wayward deeds of the flesh that Christians must crucify. I'm telling you, I had to crucify so much, and I still do. We're still crucifying this flesh on a daily basis. The enemy make you want to say things that you know you shouldn't say. The enemy make you want to do things. He just keep on firing these arrows at us all day long. But we have the shield of faith We have the word of truth, the sword of the spirit. We have all of the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. We have our loins girt about with truth. You have to have your armor on, the whole armor. You can't have pieces of your armor missing. You got to have the whole thing on every single day so that we can crucify the flesh. Now, Christians must crucify their flesh daily. We crucify the flesh how? Through repentance. We turn our backs on the old way of life. We say no to selfish and sinful passions, and we utterly renounce the flesh. We do not let any part of our body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, we give ourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but you now have a new life. There it is again, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So you crucify this flesh so that the new man can live. The old man must die. So we use our whole body as an instrument to do what is right in the sight of the Lord, and we do it that we might glorify him. You know, when we were in sin, we did not glorify God. We exalted sin, and we exalted the devil in our sinful behaviors. But now that we are on the Lord's side, our whole goal, our number one goal, is to exalt the name of Jesus and to glorify him. Glorify God in our life, in our bodies, in our homes, in our ministries. We want to glorify God in every aspect of our life. So therefore, we crucify the flesh. Now, I want to read a scripture found in Romans chapter 16. Glory be to God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. I'm sorry. All right, here we go. Romans 6 and 13, it says, neither yield, well, I'm going to start at verse 12. Oh, no, I'm going up. I'm going to verse 10. All right. No, I'm going to verse 9. It says, no, I'm going to verse 7. It says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, what that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I hope you die. I hope you die. True believers in Christ have to love God, as I said, so much that everything else feels like you hate it. You hate this world, the things of this world. So this is why we want to die. We want to die. We want this flesh to die. The flesh must be put to death. There is something that this is something you have to do. Put to death jealousy, envy, lying, and dishonesty, all of the iniquity. Iniquity are the hidden sins of the heart. Stealing and wickedness and lust. Nail it. You got to nail it to the cross. How? By confession and repentance. Take it to God in prayer. I hope you die. I hope you crucify your flesh and die to sin so that your spirit man can live. Scripture tells us that except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I hope you die. Now, Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and 21, he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I want to talk about that so that you can understand that. So I'm going to turn to Philippians right now. Let's look at that. Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 19 through 21. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul had already suffered so much in his missionary journeys. He was beaten, stoned, hated, derided, shipwrecked, and now he was in prison. But Paul found joy in his afflictions. Paul said these are but light afflictions, and they are not worthy to be compared to the eternal weight of glory that awaits us, all right? And he said he found joy in these afflictions because they had actually strengthened him and allowed him to serve as a strong witness for Christ. Preaching and living out the word of God was Paul's highest goal. Notice I said preaching and living out the word of God. There are so many people preaching something that they are not living. You got to live what you preach and preach what you live. Glory be to God. But Paul, he lived and preached the word of God. And that was his highest ambition. Glory be to God. And these things provided him with ample opportunities for evangelism. He literally presented his body as that living sacrifice that I just got through talking about for God's kingdom. Because he had faithfully run the race set before him, he knew that God would be honored through both his life and his death. As Christians, our whole lives are to bring glory to God. That is why I hope you die. I hope your flesh dies so that you can bring glory to God in this life. Paul had the assurance that even in his suffering, he said, if we suffer with him, we will also reign with him. He knew that his goal to live is Christ. But we also see in the second part of this verse, Paul knew that his death would bring glory to God as well. Now, God has not called all of us to physically suffer what Paul suffered. But Paul longed for the day when death would bring him face to face with Jesus. When we lose what we lose in life, we gain in heaven. So Paul was able to say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul was able to say that because he knew that God had blessed him and God had took him from a place. Paul knew he wasn't what he used to be. He used to think he was somebody, but then Paul found out that he was nobody. And then God raised him up. He saved him and raised him up for his glory. And Paul just submitted to the will of God. He surrendered. And that's what it means to die. You got to surrender. You got to humble yourself and just say, Father, I yield. I yield to you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You see, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with all its passions and all its desires. As I said, Paul had suffered so much, but his number one goal was to bring glory to God. Paul knew that this life is only temporary. And for those who follow Jesus, eternal life is our reward. What we lose in life, we will gain in heaven. I hope you die. Now, before I close, I want to talk to some people who might feel like, well, I'm not sure about this. Okay, has God given you a vision that is yet unfilled? If that vision is born of God, he will raise it up his own way. You don't have to try to raise up a vision. In other words, you don't have to try to determine where you will be useful to God. Let God determine that. He will use you in the area and in the way, in the place and time that he wants to use you. So many people are making the mistake of trying to make hookups and connections with other preachers and other ministers. And first of all, you don't even know anything about those ministries, but yet you feel like if you hook up with them, that will open doors for you. Let God open your doors. You can walk through some doors that look like it's a great opportunity and find out it was your most tragic mistake. The scripture tells us in Isaiah 40 and 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew your strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I hope you die. Like Moses, Moses tried to fulfill the vision of God by freeing the Hebrews and killing that Egyptian. But in the end, it only failed. Wait on your Father. Wait on God. Wait on him to fulfill whatever vision that he's given you. If it's from God, it will not lie. It will speak. Though it tarry, it will speak. Then you will know that this vision was from him when he fulfills it in the only way that he can do. The things that God wants to do in your life. You know, somebody told me this when I was strung out on crack cocaine. I shared a little story with them how God had opened, just blessed me with some chicken from Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I was just so blessed. I didn't have but $2.12, and I ended up with 5 pieces of chicken and 2 biscuits. And I was so excited. I was telling a minister of the gospel about it. And she told me 28 years ago, she said, Jan, she said, the chicken is just a drop in the bucket of what God wants to do in your life. And I'm telling you, God has exceeded my every dream, my every ambition. The things that God has done in my life, I would have never imagined that he could do these things, and certainly that he would do these things. So I'm saying all this to say that God's got a plan for your life. He knows what he's doing. He created you for a specific purpose. So in my closing, I hope you die.
Praise God. Sister, that was a powerful, powerful message. I can confer with you the things that God has done in my life. Never in my life but believe or imagine that I would have an internet radio station. I got free on crack cocaine 35 years ago. Never would believe that I would have an internet radio station. We minister over 127,000 people just alone on Blog Talk. That's not including live delivery at www.livedeliverance.com. Never knew that the Lord would send me to Israel 2 times, connect me with ministers, and taught me a lot. And I met many people. Thank you for meeting Sister Taylor. God has let me meet, and God has also showed me the negative side of ministry. He's also showing me now that we have pastors selling out. We have anointed pastors taking thousands of dollars and putting it in their pocket when people are giving it for building fund. I had to get rid of one here that was saying that he had a cure for the COVID virus, sending $190, and I took him off the air immediately. We don't need this type of doctrine. I thank this sister for bringing the raw words. Y'all don't want to hear nothing like this. But if we up here talking about how money come out the rain trees and how it floats out of the water, you'll be ready to jump on that. But when it deals with the flesh, it always seems it's not popular. Well, that's something that you need to deal with, because your flesh can send you to hell. And you can't cast it out. You have to crucify it. And I just thank you, Sister Taylor, for bringing this opportunity. God is showing me some things about them. Listen to me. I want to thank you, Lord. Sister Taylor, you mind if I can say this for a minute?
Go right ahead.
I don't care how anointed everybody look at a person. Don't look at the person.
Amen.
The gifts of God comes without repentance. You don't know that person's heart. God is showing me deep stuff within the church that I don't want no part of. I don't want no part of it. I'm not going to let money sell me out. And it's a sad thing what God is showing me. And this is why the Lord has been constantly telling me to tell people to study the Word of God. Study it for yourself. You need to study it for yourself. Stop calling folks, hey, where is this written at? Go find it for yourself. Get the Holy Ghost. Ask the Lord to give you dynamis. You don't have to be tricked by pastors, tricked by preachers hustling you out your money. Money coming. That ain't nowhere in the Bible. That's nowhere in the Bible. Pastors going out with Lady Gaga in a big mega church. Pastors saying, bishops, name bishops. T.D. Jakes saying, I find we can coexist with homosexuality. I can't coexist with that. God don't coexist with it, because if he wanted to coexist with it, why did he destroy Solomon and Gomorrah about it in Genesis 19?
Amen.
See, the men, or just because a person is anointed, that don't mean nothing. You need to be looking at Jesus in you and test the scriptures when everybody's talking to you. Even if they're anointed, they can still have something in their heart that can hinder them from the process of God. I see a lot of pastors that's all about money, musicians, and I'm sick of it. I don't want no part of it. And I've just decided to go solo. I don't need no tapes from nobody. I'll keep Derek Prince moving. I thank the Lord for that, and just keep it moving. I don't want to be dealing with people ordaining other people that with no anointing, and because they got a name, and pastors leaving folks. People been with the ministry 30, 40 years, and you're going to cut away from them, do your own thing, just leave them stranded. Poor Christians have to be in church and clean up the church. Don't nobody get no money for none of that. A labor's not worth of their hire. They're a part of helps, volunteer programs. They don't volunteer people out, but yet they get all the money. That's got to stop. Stop going to these churches. Ain't nothing in them. Ain't nothing. I ain't saw no church that I've been in that's seen all five gifts of the Spirit. I've never saw it in my life. I saw only one, speaking in tongues, interpreting. That's it. I ain't seen no word of knowledge. You know, I saw a couple of demons cast out. Not a lot, just maybe two or three. But the church needs to be operating in the ministry of deliverance. It's not. God bless you, and have a wonderful evening, Sister Taylor. Y'all have a nice night, and good night.
Amen.